the title of my message is Keep Going, The Power of Pressing Through. I know from first-hand experience that life throws obstacles at every person. You don't have to live too long on the earth to understand. You know, Jesus said in this world, you'll have trouble. Now, we don't put that on our refrigerator. You know, that's not a magnet we use on there. In this world, you'll have trouble. But it's true nonetheless because the word says it. In this world, you will have trouble because we have an enemy, right? And so because we have an adversary, thank God we also have a Lord who told us ahead of time. And he gave us authority. He said, be of good comfort. He said, I have overcome the world. He gave us further direction. He didn't just leave us hanging, right, with an abstract that in this world you'll have trouble. Well, we can do something about it. But we can't expect that we'll live life. If the Bible says that we will have trouble, we can't expect that we'll live life and never have any issues come up, right? Life will throw obstacles at every person whoever dared to dream a dream to follow God, whoever dared to endeavor to persevere in and pursue the plan of God for their lives. The enemy will see to it that anytime he can, he'll bring up, as Pastor Hagin likes to say, obstacles. I love when he says that. But he'll bring obstacles into our way to try to keep us from fulfilling the divine call of God that he has for us. Because we all have a call of God on our life. For something in the body of Christ, we get born again and we have something to do. I've heard it said this way, we all have something to do in the army of the Lord, right? Even the babies have been called into the infantry. Okay. If you were looking for a joke, that's it. That's all I got. So, I remember, and if you've heard me tell this story, and you probably have if you've heard me speak before, I remember distinctly when the Lord laid it on my heart that I would come back here one day. And I share the story often because it was so impactful in my life for the Lord to say that. Because, you know, as a student, you just think, yeah, everybody wants to do that. You think that that's what you're going to do, or, you know, you have this idea. How many of you know we have ideas? There was a time when I was a student that I was picking out the name of my television show in my head. Isn't that dumb? That we do stuff like that. We just think that we know what is going to happen in our lives, and, you know, this is, I've got it all mapped out. We don't know everything, right? If we'll settle that and just say, you know what? Better that I follow God and I discover his plan than I try to figure it all out today, right? When he spoke it to my heart, it was not an audible voice. I could take you to the spot today. I've got a picture of it on my phone, as a matter of fact, because for years I would go back and I would look at it to remind myself that there was something that God had for me to do. But I knew that I was going to have to work those things out. When he spoke it to my heart, these are the words that he said. You'll be back here one day. In my lightning fast mind, I thought I'm going to graduate. They're going to ask me to stick around. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But here I am 20 plus years later, and I am back. But when he spoke that to my heart, it didn't mean because I knew that there was something that I was going to do for the kingdom of God. There was a place for me in the kingdom. It did not mean that it was all going to be automatic, or like Brother Hagin used to say, fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. It wasn't going to be an automatic thing. I was going to have to get engaged with that plan, and sometimes obstacles will come up in our way. One of my favorite quotes is from the Christian poet Edwin Markham, and it's, great it is to dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream, and a greater thing is to fight life through and say at the end that the dream is true. There are times where we have to fight life through. In order to experience all that God has for us, we have to have a stick-to-itiveness that will help to thrust us, I guess is the word I'll use, thrust us into the plan of God for our lives. All of us have a God-given dream. I believe two of the greatest days in our natural life are the day that we're born and the day that we find out why. You know, I mean, certainly spiritually speaking, the day that we're born again matters immensely. But the day that you're born, we all come into the earth the same way. And And then the day that you discover the why of you being here. Those are great days for us, because the day that you're born, you're a clean slate. You start fresh. You have a new beginning. That's what makes the new birth so special, is that you have a new beginning, right? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But we get birthed into this world and we're a clean slate. We've got things that we learn and we grow. And then we discover the why of us being here. We find out what our plan is that God has for us, what our purpose is. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul reveals some important things about focusing on the pursuit of the high calling of God. What it is that God has for us. And you know, there are, I say this to the students sometimes. I explain to them, you know, in the military there are general orders that everybody follows general orders. It's the same for everyone. Quit my post only when properly relieved. Those kind of things that anybody who'd been in the military, thank you for your service. But when you understand that there are general orders, but then there are direct orders. It's an order that is given specifically to you, that not everybody else has that order. Not everybody else is doing the same thing that you're doing. And I can remember when I was in the military, one time I was guarding the armory. They would make the recruits in boot camp guard the armory. And that was just like, you know, nobody, we were on a base in the middle of South Carolina. Nobody's really looking to get into our armory, you know, lots of MPs there and stuff, but they did it so that they were training you. And so you would go into the army or armory and you would take like 3 or 4 hours. And I was inside the armory and a sergeant came up who legitimately needed to be in there. But I wasn't, they'd given me my orders. My specific order was that I was not to allow anybody to come into that room. And they were like, "Are you clear on your orders?" I thought it was a trick. I thought he was there to see if I would open the door. Turns out it was not a trick. And he was very angry that I wouldn't let him in. I can remember him putting the bill of that drill sergeant hat against the glass in the armory, because I just kept spitting to him my orders, my general orders. He would say, "All right, that's real good, Private. He said, let me in." And I would say, "You know, I'll quit my post only probably, you know," and I'm giving him all this. And he finally went, put his head up there and I could see his eyeball. He said, "Open the door." And I didn't. So he went and got somebody else and they did come back. But we I don't know why I'm telling you all that tonight, but anyway, specific orders and general orders. We all have things that we're supposed to do. We're all supposed to go out and tell the good news. We're supposed to share the gospel. There are certain things that we do in a general sense, right? But then there are specific things that you and I are called to do as well. Things where God has called you for a particular place or for a particular purpose. And those things are so valuable for the kingdom of God. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 13. I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. It says this. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we're called to this upward call. This, from wherever we begin, we're called to move into this upward call that he has for us. Certainly, in a larger sense, this means the things of God, like, you know, that we're all we're called to live righteously and live holy before the Lord, sanctify our lives. Those type of things, we're moving to be more Christ-like every day. But also, in the sense of specifically, what is it that God wants me to do? I want to press in to what God has for me so that I can fulfill that call. So that when I get to heaven and I stand before my Lord, I hear those words that we all want to hear when the saints go on to be with Jesus. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear God say, "Well done." I do not want to hear the Lord say to me, "Well." I want him to say a little more than that. I want to hear, "Well done." I want to know that the plan that God had for me, I fulfilled it. My desire, the thing that I strive for is to do the will of God for my life. "Lord, what would you have me do?" It's interesting, the Apostle Paul said that when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. The first thing he said was, "Who art thou, Lord?" He identified, and then he said, "What would you have me to do?" It's a question we all ought to be asking. Amen? Thank you for the rousing burst of silence. Here, Paul is showing us a mindset of someone who refuses to give up on the purpose. That word there, the upward call that he uses, it's the same word used in Colossians 3:2, where it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. That upward call, setting your affections, it's the same meaning. We're to get a laser focus or a pinpoint accuracy on, God, what are you calling me to? And I'm going to strive to be exactly who you called me to be. He's in prison when he's writing this, but his attitude is that he's determined to keep pressing on. It's a call to refuse to give up. It's a call to refuse to let go, to refuse to settle until we fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And that call matters to everyone, not just to you. It matters to other people. Someone is counting on you to press in and fulfill your call. As I was preparing my message and I was thinking about some of the people here that have pressed in, you know, I mentioned Brother Dan and how, you know, he's been here a long time and he's been serving God, pressed into the plan of God, and he's been such a blessing by doing that. I think of, Pastor Tad and Pastor Bill. I was thinking the other day, what if Pastor Bill would have just stayed with FedEx? Took that trip down to Florida when the opportunity presented itself that he told us about. What if they would have said no to the plan of God? I was thinking about Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. What if when they knew that they were supposed to come here to help Brother Hagen to start Rhema Bible Training College, Pastor Hagen had a plan. He could have done some other things. He was going to do something. What if he would have done something different? I'll take it a step further. What if the ushers who have helped us so much tonight and our greeters, what if they just stayed home? They said, what God is calling me to do isn't valuable enough to press in and do it. What if we don't press in to what? I was thinking about all of that today. I walked past a plant at my house. I raise a garden, and I walked past. I started a lot of them in small pots. And then I moved them from those small pots into a raised bed that I've got right now. Man, I've got squash. Upon squash. The other day I went out there, I was so blessed. I'm so blessed, Pastor Bill. My squash was doubling up on me. Two of them were stuck together coming up. I'm about to eat good. I'm getting all kinds of squash, but I walked past this little piddly plant that I had left in the pot. All these other plants are huge now. And this one little plant is just all peaked looking. I could see it had a little bud on it. And I thought, man, that's one of the saddest things. I used to have a bass guitar that I inherited from my dad. He could play bass guitar. I cannot. I gave it to there was a student here that I knew played bass, and I gave it to him because I thought, to me, an instrument that doesn't make music is a sad thought. That squash plant that wasn't going to, I thought, man, that thing's going to live and die in that little tiny pot. And I'm not going to give it what it needs to do what it was intended to do, the life that was in that seed. So I took it out the other day, and I put it into my raised bed, and one of those blooms has already opened up. It's doing its work, right? Well, in the same way, you and I, what if you're a singer, you've got music on the inside. There's nothing sadder than for God to give you the ability to have music on the inside and never to release that. Some of you got to preach in you. There are people that are maybe watching us tonight that were called to come to Rhema Bible Training College that have sat in their living rooms knowing that God is calling them to do that and haven't done it yet. Some of them may live and die without ever pressing in to what it is that God's calling them to do. Say, that won't be me. I'll give you all the rest of you a chance to say it too. That won't be me. Glory to God. Here's my first point is this. It's hard to run with your hands full. We got to learn to let go of some things if we're going to press in to the call. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. If I'm going to press in to reach the high call in my life, I'm going to have to do some letting go. I can't run with my hands full. I walked into my house the other day, and who was it that delivered that package? Sam's, I think, delivered a package right in front of our door, and I was carrying in groceries, and I had them in a box, and I tried to step over that thing with my hands full, and like to fell over, and when I did, I shook the box, and I ripped the side out of it, and of all things to be carrying, I was carrying cherries, and I was carrying eggs, and that stuff went everywhere. It would have been a whole lot easier for me to move that box and come in, not try to go the journey with my hands full, right? Sometimes our hands are full of some things in our past that aren't so good, past failures and past hurts. We got to learn to let go of those things and empty our hands of those so that you can always run easier if you can run lighter. Isn't that right? Pastor Hagin says this in his book, How to Fulfill Your Divine Destiny. He said, as Paul penned those words, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm sure his mind went back to the day he stood and held the coats of men and encouraged them as they were stoning Stephen. Someone may say, I have trouble forgetting my past. He said, well, you were never the catalyst who encouraged the stoning of God's chosen. You may have done some bad things in your life, but you hadn't done this kind of bad things. And even if you had done those bad things, if you and I are born again, we're not that same person. We've got to learn to let go of some of those things in our past. Just say, you know what? That man, that woman, they died on my Damascus Road. They're no longer around. I'm not a slave to those things that I once was. I'm a new creation. Amen. We have to learn, you know, Hebrews 12:1 says we lay aside weights and sins that so easily beset us. And I used to think about that and say, I got to put down sin. But it says weights and sins that easily beset us. Meaning what then? There are some things that aren't necessarily sins, but they still easily, in the King James, beset us. Some things are not value added in our lives, and dragging around dead men and dead women, things that we used to do and who we used to be, those things do not serve to help us to press forward into the high call of God on our lives. We have to learn to let go of past failures. You can't drive forward while you're looking in the rearview mirror, right? We can always be better than our yesterday. Isn't that true? I can't do anything about what I was yesterday, but tomorrow can be better than yesterday was. Isn't that right? And I can, if I messed up today, guess what? Tomorrow can be better than today was. I can't do anything about my past. Why? Because it's already past. I can't do anything. Now, I want to learn to, you know, we strive or we endeavor to do less things that would cause us trouble or, you know, or drag us down. But if we do mess up, glory to God, we have an advocate and we move on and we say, tomorrow I'll be a better me than I was today. Amen. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19 says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Israel always seemed to focus on either their past glories or their past mistakes. But they were always looking behind them. You know, what would make a group of people who God is bringing them into their own land say, would to God that we were in Egypt as slaves at the flesh pots. To think that you were better off some way in your past, I can promise you this, your past before Jesus was not better than your future with him. Amen? So let go of past mistakes and failures. If we're born again, we don't dig up dead men. The next thing, though, we got to empty our hands of is past successes. Sometimes it's not just our failures, but it's our glory days that hold us back. We talk about how good it once was. You know, if we look back longingly at the good old days, I don't know about you, but those things that were the good old days to me, I talk about Rhema when I was a student was the good old days, but I was broke, ladies and gentlemen. I like 2025 me a whole lot better. But I look back at them fondly as the good old days, right? What if I looked at today as one day knowing that it will be the good old days, right? What if I understand that, but I don't get so caught up in what my good old days were that I want to go back there? We don't always have a time to go or an opportunity to go back. I had the opportunity in ministry. I had it in me for a long time. Every time I would get frustrated, I would do like, you know, we've heard Minister Sabley, Brother Hagin said about, you know, just at night, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to get me a moving vehicle and I'm just going to get out of here. There were times in ministry over the years that I thought that's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to Paducah, Kentucky, Quilt City, USA, and we're going to start from scratch. I don't want to look at another person anymore. This ministry stuff's too tough. I'm out of here. I got the opportunity to go back home at one point. And you know what was weird? None of those people put their whole life on pause waiting on me so life could happen again. Life just moved on, right? It wasn't the same. And what I was remembering so fondly really wasn't all that great. That movie, Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico, just because you think you can throw a football over them mountains 20 years ago, don't mean you could do it. Your glory days may not have been all that glorious. We got to let go of those things. Why? Because if we hold on to our glory days thinking, oh man, that was the best that it ever be. Well, then what you're saying is that God can't make my tomorrow better than my yesterday. Is that true? That was weak. Is that true? Can God make my tomorrow better than my yesterday? It can always be better. If you had the best day of your life today, guess what? You serve a God who is more than enough, and he is well able to make tomorrow better than today was. You got a raise today, there's more where that came from. You hit the sweet spot, gets better tomorrow. Every day with him gets better, amen? So we got to let go of the past. We got the past failures. We got to let go of past successes. Here's the second point, this. We got to learn to lean forward. Destiny doesn't happen by default. I said, your destiny doesn't happen by default. The scripture says this, it says reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Our calling is in front of us. What God is calling you and I to is out ahead. We've got a divine purpose and it hasn't expired and it's not going to change. If the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, and I've been a slow starter, any of you ever felt that way, that you were a slow starter? You knew that you should have done some things, and you hadn't done them yet, and you were just kind of slowly moving, trying to catch some momentum? Just because you've been a slow starter, God's plan for you and I hasn't changed. It's exactly the same. And as soon as we'll get engaged with it, you know, I'm glad I serve a God who will put me on a path that he'll keep bringing me around to the same opportunity to make the right decision. He'll just keep bringing me around until I finally say, you know what? I'm tired of walking around in circles like this. 40 years in the wilderness is enough. Maybe I ought to do something different. Maybe it's time to make a change. Don't like that? Okay, check. The best is still ahead if we don't quit. You won't drift into God's will. You have to pursue it. Reaching, the scripture tells us that we're reaching. That means, you know, when I read that the word reaching, that means that it requires some effort on my part. It's going to take some doing. There are going to be some times that I don't feel like getting out of bed. I don't want to read my Bible today. I'm tired. I don't want to take the time to pray. I don't want to seek God today. I got so much going on. But we do those things, and the enemy uses that to create in our lives a type. You know, if I'll say it this way, if the enemy can stall you with a tactic, why would you think that he would use some different tactic in the future? If he ever finds, I found this to be true. There were people that sometimes, you ever had somebody, now I love people a whole lot. So let me just preface this. I do love people a ton. But you ever had somebody in your life and you're just like, they're a little more difficult to take than others, right? You know, you want to hug them somewhere around here tightly. But you don't, right? Okay, just making sure you don't. There are some people, but what I found was those same people, if they could get me off track, if they could get me to lose my cool, well, the enemy will see to it that their cousin who's just like them will be working with you at your next job. And wait till you meet Aunt Minnie. She raised them both. And she'll be just like them. But if I learn to overcome that attitude or that obstacle, that type of person, well, the enemy won't be bringing it into my life. Why? Because he's looking for something that he can do that will get me off track. And if it doesn't work, guess what? If you've been facing the same battle over and over and over and over, it's a good chance that the enemy has been using that tactic because it's always worked. Right? But we're not ignorant of his devices. So reaching requires effort. Stretching occurs sometimes when we reach, but the work is always worth it. You know, diets, exercise, learning a new skill, all of those things are worth it. Reaching towards God's call for our lives is always worth it. There's benefit to following God. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says that we are to run in such a way that we may obtain the prize. You know, I would never get involved in a race that I wasn't attempting to win. You know, if they're picking winners, now I understand people exercising to reach a personal goal or something like that, but if you see me running today and there's no prize involved, look for the dog behind me and see if you can't stop him. All right? My idea lately, now I'm not telling you to be this way, I'm trying to do better, but my idea of exercise has been filling a bathtub with water and pulling the plug and fighting the current. That's right. If you're going to run the race, don't do it to come in third. If we're going to run the race, we ought to run it to win, right? If I'm going to run this race, I want to be what God has called me to be, and I want to do what God has called me to do. I don't want to stop short of the victory. Amen. Point three is this: push through. Resistance proves that you're on track. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. The word press implies resistance. It's translated most places in the New Testament to persecute or to follow after. In 1 Corinthians 14, 14:1, the same word is used, follow after charity. So it's this idea of pressing is to pursue something with a force, to push, to make sure. Well, if I've got to do that, that means that there's going to be some resistance if you're saying that I need to press. Isn't that right? Okay. It requires, I press forward, it says, the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. So there's going to be resistance. That means it won't always be easy. But anything worth having is worth fighting for. Right? If something is worth having, then it's worth putting in the effort. Nice cars, nice home, relationships. Right? How many of you remember, guys? Man, I can remember. I pursued my wife, like, you know, you can run, girl, but you can't hide. Since we were in high school, I mean, she tried, but I found her. She moved, I found her. I'm just kidding. She didn't. I set my eye on her. She caught my eye, and I pursued her. Question is, why would you ever stop? She was worth having in my life. She brought me value. I wanted to pursue it. The call of God on your life is valuable, precious. It's the specific call that other people are waiting on you to fulfill. When I was a student during student revival, I remember one of the speakers said that. He said, guys, you may have come here thinking that you were coming here for yourself, but he said, you're the answer to other people's prayers. There are people all over the world waiting for you to train and to go out there and do the things that you're called to do. Whether that's, you know, I discovered a long time ago, some people are called to stay here and serve here. And man, why would you do anything else? The number of people over the years that I've seen come here and then feel like they got to leave and then they come back because the Lord called them back here. Why? Because this is a local church. It's a training ground. There's people that are needed here too, right? Don't pursue somebody else's calling. Pursue your own and give it all you got. Press in and make a decision that you're going to give it all you got. Man, am I going to get to this last point? I think I am, real quick. I'm just going to talk faster. Okay, are you ready? All right, get your listeners on. Here you go. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. You're going to have somebody that tries to stop you. The enemy's going to try to get you off track. But you don't have to let him get you off track. Amen? He's already defeated. You have to make a decision. The only person that has any decision-making authority is you. God gave you the authority. He told you what to do, and he didn't say that the devil could stop you. He can only stop you and I if we allow it. But what if we didn't? Could we go further? Could we go longer? Oh, glory to God. If God is for us, who could be against us? The larger question is, who cares who's against us? Right? You have a call, a specific call. But in order to reach it, this is my last point, 7:59. Here we go. This is my last point. You got to keep your head up. Your call is on the other side of your obstacle. Obtaining it is going to be on the other side of your obstacle. If you'll press through, if you'll get your focus on it, and you'll say, you know, no matter what comes, no matter the trial, no matter the test, I'll work hard, I'll give God my best. He'll always be able to help you to get to the other side, but it requires you and I engaging in the pursuit of what he's called us to. And if we'll do that, I promise you, the victory that you need to overcome, to experience who he's called you to be specifically, your plan and your purpose for your life, if you'll make a decision that I'm going to pursue it with all effort, I'm going to pursue it like the wife that I wanted as a young man. I'm going to pursue it like the job that I need, more than any job I ever wanted, more than any home I ever wanted, more than anything that I ever wanted in my life. I'm pursuing the calling, the high calling in Christ. I want to be everything he called me to be. I want to do everything he called me to do. I'm going to show up. I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to put me in the right place at the right time. But one thing that I won't do is quit. I'll never quit. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let me pray for you tonight. Some of you may have come in here discouraged. You may have come in here thinking, you know what? This plan, this purpose that God has for me, I'm never going to fulfill it. It seems like it's taken too long. But I promise you, if you'll pick it back up, there's no expiration date on the call of God in your life. It hasn't expired. You pick it up. And God is faithful to his word, and he'll perform it on your behalf. But you've got to make a decision to do that. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're in the room tonight and that's you. You're saying, you know, I know God called me to pursue a particular plan and a purpose, something that he's got me, he's spoken to my heart, but I haven't really been diligent to fulfill that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. I want you, wherever you're at right now, just stretch one hand towards heaven if that's you. I haven't been pursuing the call like I should have been pursuing it. God's been telling me to serve. He's been telling me to serve somewhere else, Rhema Bible Church. He's been calling me to do what he's placed within me, the gifts and callings. Tonight, I'm committing, that hand raised, I'm committing that from this moment forward, I'm pressing towards the call. Father God, you see those hands, those who have raised them in earnest. And I believe them, Lord, that they're in all sincerity. They're standing before you and they're saying they're making a switch. On the inside, they're making a decision that they're going to do things differently. They're going to refocus, retarget their efforts. And I thank you, Lord, that you're helping them because your word says it. You've promised us the help we need, the peace, the wisdom, the guidance into all truth. The showing of things to come. Lord, as they've raised their hand tonight, I believe they will fulfill their call, that plan and that purpose. As they've made a commitment to you tonight, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to their hearts, encouraging them and strengthening them. For those that are in here, Lord, that are already, Lord, they're hitting the mark. I'm praying for them to stay steady. Storms may come, the winds may blow. But they'll be led by your Spirit, and they're learning to flow. They'll not be shaken and they'll not be moved, Lord. They're staying steady, following your plan and your purpose. I thank you for that, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed still, no one looking around, I'm not going to ask you to come down right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, our altar care team, you can go ahead and come down. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to take a personal inventory. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never been born again, or you need to rededicate your life. Or perhaps you're here and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You can leave here with any of those needs in your life met before you leave. You can rededicate your life and have a no-so experience. You can be born again, or you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to ask you to do, you're taking a personal inventory. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around here. You're taking a personal inventory right now. Where am I at with God? Am I born again? Do I need to rededicate my life? I need that no-so experience. Have I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the endowment of power? If you haven't, if that's you tonight, when everybody else is exiting, I want you to make your way down here. Men come to the men, ladies come to the ladies. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you're online, you can pray this prayer. You can say, Father God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and he rose again. He paid the penalty for my sins. I ask you to come into my life, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe because I've asked you to come in that Jesus died for me, that I'm free from all sin and I've been made righteous through Christ. I believe if you prayed that prayer, you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, and welcome to the family of God. Like I said, everybody, when we're leaving now, I'm going to dismiss you. You can open your eyes now. I'm going to dismiss you. If everybody else is leaving, greet one another. But if you need prayer tonight, I want you to come down here and get prayed for. God bless you, gentlemen. Is there anything else, ladies? God bless you. Have a good evening. We'll see you on Sunday. Keep our pastors lifted up in prayer. Appreciate you.